able to tap into and bring forth open heavens, open windows, and limitless blessings to your life. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 again is our key verse. And it says, "See if I can't open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing that you can't even receive and contain all the things I pour out to you, says the Lord God of hosts." And open windows means no limit to the supply that God can give to us. These five areas again is, first of all, God's provision. I spoke about God's provision 2 weeks ago. I understand that last week your guest speaker here, Keith Needham, did a great job with you guys, ministered to people till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to get that CD, I hope, at some point and hear what the message was he actually gave you guys. But in today's message here, before that, I gave one on provision, that God wants to give us open heavens in our provision. Let's realize there's no limit to what God can do for us. Even as Jeremy shared this morning, God can bring you sometimes unexpected breakthroughs and blessings in provision. It'll totally surprise you. But the main thing God says is, test me in your giving. If I cannot take and do surprises, handfuls of blessings on purpose, right in the midst of your biggest drought or famine or reversal in finances, God can still bring provision today to us by His own power and by His workings in our lives. Amen. How many folks have ever seen God do that? Bring you unexpected blessings on purpose in provision. And so understand again that God shows us throughout the entire Old Testament, New Testament, gives us great examples of people, men and women, that God brought forth divine provision right in the biggest need in the darkest time of their lives. Of course, it also means not just money. It also means to us sometimes emotional help. It means sometimes deliverance from depression or fear or worry. It means sometimes even favor being loose upon us that brings forth to us people's blessings around us that needs to happen at the right place at the right time to bring increase to our lives. So the first thing God does is bring forth provision. Today is about presence. The next is going to be about God's providence, then God's preview of coming attractions, and then finally God's promotion also has no limits how much God can promote us upon the face of the earth. Now, I see Dave Sanders back there. Dave, do you have my cameras? Okay, they're on the front row. I thought someone had stole those because this church is kind of a high crime. So, all right, you got those. Good. We got cameras in here. All right. But Dave's got those cameras. God bless. We're going to take and do a video presentation of the Myanmar trip and show you guys that in a week or two. As well. Amen. So when it comes now to God's presence, this is something you need to take and really understand. It's not just getting a message here of knowledge. This is all about, again, a transformation impartation thing, because I really believe that God wants us to start seeking after, desiring, and hungering for more of God's presence. Amen. How many folks would like to have more of God's presence in your life? I would. Both hands are up. I want more of God's presence in my life. You might be saying, well, what about my marriage? What about talking about my children? Talking about rebellion? Talking about anger and so forth? All those things you can mention there that are negative can all be taken care of by the presence of Almighty God. Because when God's presence comes forth, God, the first thing He does, He always brings divine order into every place of disorder in your life by His power and by His presence. Amen. His presence puts you in the right place at the right time to receive the right book, to receive the right TV show, to receive the right friend to come at the right time, to bring forth the right check, to bring forth the right raise, the right job, the right husband, the right wife. All these things are coming automatically as God's presence is in your life in a tangible, spiritual sense that actually can sometimes even be felt. In my own life, I've sensed God's presence through people. I've been around sometimes a man of God, woman of God, and it seems like the very electricity and the very power of God's flowing through every pore of their being. You might have been around folks like that yourselves. There's just an anointing upon them, there's a power upon them, there's a favor upon them, there's God's presence upon them so mightily that it brings forth something inside your own spirit that kind of leaps and jumps, it seems like, by just being in their presence. God wants that same presence in every one of us, the body of Jesus Christ, not just the evangelist on television, but God has it for every single believer in the body of Christ, for those who are going to give themselves to Him, submit themselves to Him, and say, Father God, just be the God of every part of my life. That tangible presence can take place in every believer's life by the power of Jesus Christ that works through us. Amen. I've also seen some God's presence show up in services, church services. I've been sometimes in places where it's just such a sweet presence of God during praise, during worship. I sometimes will weep. I'll sometimes cry because God's presence is so strong in a place, even like Tree of Life Church, during praise, during worship, during testimonies, during the preaching of God's word. I can sense God's presence in places, not just in America, sometimes in South Africa, sometimes in China, even in Myanmar as well. We're sensing God's presence, tangible presence in places, in mighty ways, where his people gather together to praise his name, to worship his name, to share his word, to bring forth ministry, to see healings and miracles take place. It releases God's presence in the atmosphere around us. My desires and folks coming to Tree of Life Church on Sunday mornings like this, you're going to sense God's presence in this place. Because God's presence brings forth to you joy and confidence and faith and the word and strength. It brings answers and solutions. It brings healings. It brings soundness. It brings only beneficial things to your life. We want God's presence in this place. Aren't you grateful here for our worship team? For James and our singers here, our precious singers, our precious musicians here, ushering in God's presence among us. These guys are praying before the service even happens. They're praying that as they sing God's word, play God's word, God's music, that it brings forth his presence upon us, that draws us ever closer to the Father and to who he is. Amen? May that increase upon all of us more and more and more. I believe God today, this Sunday morning, January 20, the year 2013, God's presence is here among us today. And God's not finished in this service yet this morning. That God's presence is still going to be increasing, manifesting here among us. And God's going to be loosing here hunger and thirst for him like we've never seen before. Those who hunger and thirst for God, the Bible says, will be filled again and again and again with rivers, not streams, not just little bitty trickles, but rivers of living water. Amen. And I want living water. Water is full of all kind of life and fish and things are going to bring forth that nutrition and strength to us as only God can do. So moving along here. Also, I've seen God's presence in prayer and worship time. During times of prayer, I sometimes have God just show up and God just begins to just agree with things and be tangibly present there. Again, I'll cry, I'll weep, I'll laugh, I'll shake sometimes under God's manifest presence during prayer time. You know, the man that taught Larry Lee, the famous prayer evangelist for our nation several years ago, the man that taught Larry Lee how to pray, his name is Bob Wilhite. Bob Wilhite told Larry Lee years ago, he said, daily prayer is much like a man that works on the bundles of electric wires that go to the houses all over the city. He says, those guys take a little instrument there, and they tap into the wires, and they tap, and they tap, and they tap, and there's no feelings, no electricity, there's nothing tangible taking place on most of the wires they tap into. But sometimes they tap into the right wire, a live wire, and all heaven breaks loose. That's how prayer also is. You'll pray sometimes for days and days and days, the same prayers for the same people, the same needs, and you'll feel nothing whatsoever. Then all of a sudden, one day, it's like God just shows up there, and God's power just gets released upon the atmosphere of your place, and he brings forth encouragement, he brings forth blessings, he brings forth sometimes even goosebumps and sometimes even shakings upon your life. But the main thing is God was there every single day in your prayer time, but some days you feel it. Some days you sense God's presence during prayer. My prayer is that prayer will increase among us at Tree of Life Church in 2013. There has never, ever been a city-shaking revival ever, but what prayer did not take place first. Sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, but it's always God's people fulfilling 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and then pray and then seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen. How are you supposed to agree that Austin, Texas needs some healing? Amen. We need healing in the body of Christ first, but also this whole city needs healing. And there's many, many folks that are lost right now that need Jesus Christ. And what's in their way is believers not praying for the harvest in our city. Amen. It is our responsibility to pray for what God wants done in this city. Amen. I've also sensed God's presence also in manifestations. Whenever folks get up here and testify about how God's healed them of multiple sclerosis or of cancer, I sense God's presence get released there. Whenever my three children were born as babies, I was in the room all three times down by the feet of my wife. Up by the head. I didn't want to see what took place below the waist, okay? So I was up there by the head. I don't do well with blood and so forth. And so I don't have any grace for that. So I stayed by the head. But every single time on all three births, God's presence tangibly filled the room as those babies were born upon the earth. Whenever God manifests healings and miracles and babies being born, I can sense God's tangible presence being released. You guys yourself sometimes, you'll cry and weep sometimes when someone says, God healed me, God delivered me, God saved me, God set me free. It's just the Spirit of God inside of you leaps for joy because it says, praise God, what God has done for that person's life. And in agreement, you start sensing God's presence on you for what God did for them to set them free or bless their lives. Amen. May that increase more and more this year in Jesus' name. You know, I sense God's presence about three main times in Myanmar as well. The first time was during our times of praise and worship there in Kali Mule. And I'm going to play here with Dave's help. They sang a song here in English that says, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. They don't even speak English. I'm not sure they even know that song. They sang that song, I think, for our benefit there. And I always sense God's presence during praise and during worship in foreign nations like that because it permeates the atmosphere, it drives back darkness, and it shows again that God's working by His Spirit in a place like that. I also sense God's presence down there in Yangon as well when the pastors are praying, releasing God's presence, God's Spirit themselves. I sense that in a mighty way. But I also sense God's presence the strongest. As I said to you guys before, as you handed that mother that cash and that money there, and I saw the face of those children who they don't even know what they don't have, but they're still smiling, they still seem content, they still seem happy for the most part. The main thing is that God is taking care of them by people not just like us, but like the folks that live with them every single day. And I just sense God's presence be there as this mother was weeping and crying there about a gift received to get those children off to school and off to some kind of a place to get further education. I sense God's presence in that place. May that increase among us more and more. God's word says, give a cup of water in my name and you're blessing me, says the Lord. Jesus Christ is where needs are being met upon the earth. Amen. So Psalm chapter 46 and starting here in verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This term here, to be still, it actually means let go. What you're holding on to, let that go. When you let that go, then God is exalted. God comes forth, and God is God inside your life when you let go of things inside your life. And so the focus here of truth is, be still and just realize that God is God. I'm not and you're not, but God is God. In Eastern thought, Eastern religions, these guys get involved in a thing called Eastern meditation. They take and they get still and they empty their entire brain of all existence upon the earth. When you do that, you're leaving yourselves open to demonic spirits to come inside your own mind and influence you in demonic evil ways. Amen. When God says to take and meditate upon my word, to be still, he means be like the cow who takes one of his stomachs full of grass and brings that chewed cud, that chewed grass back up again and chews the cud and remembers what he's eaten that day. Meditating on God's word means bring back up what God put inside your spirit, chew on it, think about it, meditate on those things, and bring forth regurgitation somehow, some way, in a spiritual type sense, and bring forth life inside your life by the power of God's Word and God's Spirit. Amen? Let's look now at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 9, about being still and having rest. We're talking about enjoying God's presence this morning. We're going to be doing that, I believe, more and more from this day forth. Verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anybody fails according to the same example of disobedience. Now, notice again, verse 11 says there, work hard to not work. He says, be diligent to rest. Work hard not to work, to be at rest. Kind of sounds like a moxioron there or whatever. Verse 12 goes on and says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. These two passages give instructions that are critical from receiving from God yourself and entering into God's presence in a tangible, real sense in your life. There are many of us here today who have trouble receiving from God. You might be in a service like this morning, come to the front for prayer. Someone lays hands upon you. You don't really feel anything at all. You're having a hard time receiving from God for whatever it is you're praying about or worshiping God about. Even during our worship and praise time, you might find yourself not really feeling things. No goosebumps, no shakings, no stirrings, no feelings during your praise and during your worship. Other folks that are here today are receiving more and more and more from God. It seems like every single day and week of their lives. I want to try to set you guys free today. They're looking for feelings and emotions, perhaps, on how much you're receiving from God's Spirit and God's grace. Because it's not about your feelings, it's not about your emotions, it's about faith in God. It's about what you're receiving from the Lord during praise, during worship, during prayer time, during preaching time. It's not your feelings or emotions that really count. It's that you're, by faith, hearing what God's doing, receiving what God's saying, being an open vessel to receive what God wants you to receive, because God's presence is already here among us today. And God's going to bring forth transformations inside of our lives. It's going to be lasting transformations more and more and more in our lives. Everybody here, I believe, wants to be touched by God. Amen? We all want to be touched by God. There are those who say they don't want to seek God for just by experience's sake. But I'm saying experiences are good. Amen? I don't seek God. I don't take and serve God for experiences. But I'm telling you right now, experiences are a good thing to have in the Lord. I want my Bible to come alive. I want prayer to come alive. I want worship to come alive inside of my heart. I want to experience something of God's touch in my life on a daily, daily basis. The most dramatic thing in my life took place perhaps years ago, maybe about 20 years ago now, as far as experiences go and the Lord is concerned. By a ministry and by a service in a corporate gathering, was I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and a man from South Africa named Rodney Howard Brown was coming through for about 3 weeks of meetings. When Rodney Howard Brown first came to America back about 1990, we had a church in Wichita, Kansas, and my wife had met him in Fred Roberts' church in Durban, South Africa, and invited him to come and speak at our church when he came to America. He actually was heading to our church to do a revival in Wichita, Kansas for us. When all of a sudden he got a hold of the folks in Brownsville down there in Florida, and revival broke out down there, and he never came to us. And so, because he never came to us, we went ahead and went to him in Fort Worth, Texas, about a year later. And so during that service, during the time of worship and praise, somebody began to take and call out like a foghorn. They were going, glory. Like that, it's on and on and on, like a great big old giant foghorn, like a tornado siren going off in Wichita, Kansas. I heard that kind of thing before, and I saw a vision of the very same thing, of a siren going off to warn the people of God that God's showing up, God's coming, God's releasing, God is here among us. I began to sense God's presence fill that entire 3,000 room sanctuary that day. Then Rodney Howard Brown began to minister as time went by. And he called Cheryl and I out from our seats. He said, "Pastors from Wichita, come to the front here." He said, "I want to pray for you guys." He laid hands on our heads. It was like two electric cables, live cables, hit us right in the forehead. We just went flying right down on our backs and found ourselves then rolling on our stomachs. And we were pinned to the floor for 3 solid hours. I tried to move my little finger and I couldn't. I mean, I was sitting there, I was saying, I'm pinned. Okay, I'm pinned. I can't move anything. I'm pinned. And we're in front of the whole church there on the floor down there, 3 solid hours pinned down by the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't receive a whole lot of visions. I didn't cry and weep there. I was just pinned to the floor for 3 solid hours, sensing God's presence doing something in my body, in my life. The amazing thing was, we got off the floor there, left the meetings the next day, went back to my church, Wichita, Kansas, on that Wednesday night service. So I came back on a Tuesday or Wednesday. During praise and worship time, I'm up here on the platform worshiping the Lord, praising God. The Spirit of God takes me and throws me against the wall. I bounce off the wall like a rubber ball, and fall on my face in front of the whole congregation on the platform. The whole place breaks out in this clapping, praise, worship. The Spirit of God hits the place. I'm laying hands on folks. They're falling down. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying it was a dramatic experience and manifestation of God's Spirit on that place in that era, that season. Amen. I'm telling you guys right now again that that's, again, not what I live for is experiences like that, but God does do things like that by His grace, by His power, and by His Spirit. So when you see folks get hands laid upon them, and you see them all of a sudden begin to shake, quiver, or quake, or fall flat like they're a dead man, being slain in the Spirit, what is that? Catherine Coleman, the great evangelist back in the 60s and 70s, she says, because she could wave her arm over crowds, Catherine Coleman could, and half the whole congregation would just be slain in the Spirit like a wave of wind going across the whole place. They just would fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, the reason for that is, God is high power and we are low power. And so when God's power encounters our bodies, something's got to give. And it's going to be us, not God. Amen. It's God's electricity goes through us, and we're kind of low power receptacles, and so a little bit of God will knock you flat on your back. Amen. Some folks quiver, some folks shake, some folks have their hands go like this, some folks get a jerk like this, some folks do what's called the pigeon neck and go like this. You know? I'm telling you again, those are not just people making things up. The electricity of God is in them, flowing through them. They're low-grade power in them, and their bodies can't take it. So they're doing something, a manifestation there, of God's presence in their lives. Now, again, I don't seek God for those kind of manifestations. That's just what the Holy Spirit does to us. So when He contacts our low-grade electricity bodies, something will break out many times in a reality, in a tangible type way. Moving on here. Seeking and desiring God's presence is mainly for transformation, not for a party. I'm going to say it again. We seek God's presence and manifestations not for a party, but for transformation in our lives. I'm not impressed by folks to get slain in the Spirit and get pinned to the floor for 3 hours and arise the same person they were before they got slain in the Holy Spirit. Some folks just want the goosebumps, they want the feelings, they want the emotion, they want a high like marijuana or like heroin, and God's not in that. Amen? I don't get impressed with folks who say, man, they're getting drunk over there. They're really getting drunk over there. Let's go there tonight and get drunk in the Holy Ghost. That is not what God's impressed by. God's impressed by transformation of your life, not just manifestations. Amen? So you might find yourself getting drunk. You might find yourself getting slain in the Spirit of God. Praise God for all those things that God does for us. But it's all for transformation to become more like Jesus Christ is. And you better be a different person when you get up off the floor than you were before you went on the floor to begin with. Amen? That's what God's after. That's what God wants. I want God's presence for the right reasons, the right motivations, and the right responses is what God wants for our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 on the screen here. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, which also means there is freedom. How many folks want liberty and freedom in God? Amen. If your marriage, again, is suffering from bondage, he said, where God's Spirit's at, there'll be freedom and liberty released upon your marriage, upon your health, upon your finances. Where God's Spirit's at, there is liberty and there is freedom in the Lord. I want that for you guys, for myself as well. You know, as Dr. Flint and the DeSejos and myself and some other folks went to Alaska on a cruise several years back for our 30th anniversary type cruise deal. Beautiful place, Alaska. And it was in the summertime for them. And we went on this thing called the Klondike Road. We saw the railroad where they actually had the Klondike Rally for Gold decades ago. And back when they first discovered gold in the Klondike, they were taking just simple picks and shovels and little sluices and just little pans to pan gold with and bringing back sacks full of pure gold. Kilos and kilos, pounds and pounds, I've been in a foreign country, pounds and pounds of pure gold being brought back from the Klondike easily right there on the surface of the ground is what it's like. Now it's year 2013. We've got shows out now like Bering Sea Gold. And like the gold, whatever, they're showing these guys, they've got big old cranes and front loaders. They've got themselves going underneath the ice with suction. They got these little tubes. They're sucking up the rocks and the dirt on the bottom of the Bering Sea, trying to find little bitty specks of gold in the ground, in the mud, in the dirt, the remnants of the big mother hall decades ago. And I fear the body of Christ is like that also today. The Holy Spirit was poured out in a mighty, mighty, mighty way about 150 years ago in this nation and nations all over the face of the earth. It was so easy to receive your whole bag full of God's gold and bring that thing home to change your life back in that era. But now it seems like in services even like ours or even across the entire nation, we've got to find ourselves sucking and sucking for little bitty remnants of what God did decades ago, a long, long time ago. The truth is, God's Spirit's here today as it was 150 years ago. That same Spirit's here right now in this place today. We still have access to the same presence. The gold is not diminished of God's kingdom. The gold is as much today as it was 150 years ago. He wants us to hunger for it, thirst for it, receive it, be open to that. God's presence is still here today as it was years and years and years ago. In the Old Testament, it says, when they dedicated the tabernacle, the temple of God, the priests who were there doing their services before God could not stand because God's presence was so strong, they began to quake and shake and fall down like dead men in God's presence. When they saw Moses come off Mount Sinai, his face glowed with God's presence and glory so much, they had to turn their face from him and they fell back like dead men when they saw the glory and presence of God upon the face of Moses, hundreds of years ago. Then back, the Bible says, back in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came down, the Bible says, like a rushing, mighty wind. Settled on men and women like tongues of fire upon their bodies. Began to speak in new tongues, new languages. They were transformed by the power of Almighty God in the twinkling of an eye. They go out there and preach one message. 3,000 people get saved in one sermon by Peter being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They transformed their known world for Jesus Christ in their community because they were filled with the power and the presence of Almighty God in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. Time goes by. 150 years ago from our own calendar today, I was reading a book on this trip, on this airplane trip. It's called God's Generals by a man named Robert Liardon. Talks about how 150 years ago revival broke out upon this nation and upon Europe as well, parts of that, by people who we've heard their names in the past before. I want to read some excerpts from this book. The first guy he talked about was a person whose name is a woman whose name was Mariah Woodworth Etter. She began to minister in the late 1800s in places like Iowa and California. And it says here, 15 people came to the altar screaming for mercy. Men and women fell and lay like dead men. I had never seen anything like this in my life. I felt it was the work of God, but did not know how to explain it or what even to say about it. 1800s, a woman named Mariah Woodworth Etter. A few more decades go by, a man named Evan Roberts does what's called the Welsh Revival over in Wales. This is the early 1900s, and it says, it was common in Evan's meetings for members in the congregation to suddenly fall on their knees and pray aloud. Waves of joy and sorrow would flood the congregation. Women, it says, fell to their knees, and men lay in the aisles, weeping, laughing, and praying. The congregation was so caught up in God, they would forget to go home for Sunday lunch or dinner after church. They were so caught up in God, they said, forget the lunch, forget the dinner. We want God's presence in our lives. This nation, Wales, same thing took place. A few more years goes by, a man named Charles Parham from Kansas has meetings in the early 1900s at a place called Galena, Kansas. And it says about him, the Joplin Herald newspaper and Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper declared Parham's meetings to be the greatest demonstration of power and miracles since the time of the apostles' writings. He says, many came to scoff, but remained and began to pray as God's presence changed and transformed their lives in those meetings. These all took place in the early 1900s, late 1800s, 100 and some years ago. Then came what's called the Charismatic Revival. People like Catherine Coleman was on the scene here. And once again, we saw God's Spirit begin to pour out upon the Catholics, the Baptists, Episcopalians, the Lutherans, Methodists, all getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Churches began to crop up and fill up to the thousands right across our entire country. Then, sad to say, here came the TV evangelist scandals here of sexual scandals, money scandals, so forth and so on. A black eye came to the body of Christ. Folks began to actually have a critical spirit, began to get cynical against the body of Christ, leadership in the body of Christ, so forth and so on. And now we're going through a time and a period right now for about 20 or 30 years, it seems like, of kind of a spiritual lull upon the body of Christ in our nation, nations around the earth. I believe that God is out right now postured saying, would my people once again humble themselves and pray and seek my face again? Because I desire to pour up my spirit upon them and show my presence strong and mighty to transform their lives, their cities, their neighbors, their friends, their co-workers for Jesus Christ. If my people will just humble themselves and pray and believe me and agree with me, it can be done again, saith the Lord. Amen. Do you believe God? That can take place. Joel says, there'll be the former rain, the latter rain, that shall come together in the last days, says the Lord. I want God's presence among us, not for goosebumps, not for falling backwards, not for shaking, quaking, and rattling and rolling only. I want transformation in my life, your life, and our city's life in Jesus' name by the presence of Almighty God. And God is saying, will you pray the price for that? Call upon my name. Believe me for great and mighty things that you don't even know about yourselves. Will you do that? That's what God is saying today. The question is, have you experienced God's presence in your past? Are you experiencing God's presence today in your present? Do you want to experience God's presence in your future? That's the question I want to ask you guys today. It's easy for us to, as charismatic Pentecostals, to be known for seeking after experiences. But I'm saying again, when God's Spirit presence shows up, there will be always an experience take place and happen somehow, some way, that even your five senses can detect what God is doing among us somehow, some way. Concerning God's presence, I want you to take and write perhaps three things down this morning. If you're taking notes today, concerning God's presence, there's three things to think about and consider. The first thing is, number one, don't be jealous of somebody else's experience. If God is causing someone to fall down under the power of the Holy Spirit, then bless them. Say, God bless you. Doesn't make them superior to you and make you inferior to them. Amen? You will manifest God's touchings, God's dealings in a different way than they will. Don't be jealous of somebody else's manifestation in their lives at all. That's the first thing. Number two, God touches people in different ways. God touches people in different ways. In our culture, as Americans, we like to vote. It'd be so nice if God would say, hey, I'm going to show up this morning and make some folks begin to shake under the power of my spirit. Do you vote yes or do you vote no? And we say, well, that's kind of weird. No, don't do that. No, 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 no. Okay, I'm going to make you guys dance around like this under the power of the spirit. Can I do that? Kind of strange. No, 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 no. Too many bankers here. Too many first-time visitors. No, 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 no. And so we want to vote and say, God, give me first a warning about what you're going to do there, and we'll vote about it and say yes or no, okay? Unfortunately, God's kingdom does not work like that. God just shows up, and God just does things among us, and we can maybe vote later, but I'm going to say God wants us to always be voting yes for what God wants to do among us, amen? I'm saying again to you guys, wildfire is better than no fire, amen? And we don't need to get ourselves into fanaticism and jumping chairs and trying to find some fake chandeliers to swing from up here somehow, some way, and do things for demonstration and to be extravagant. But I'm saying we should find ourselves becoming excited by the presence of Almighty God among us that brings forth an outward manifestation in our own lives of what God's doing in an inward work in our lives. Amen. Number three thing is, choose to enjoy whatever God gives you. Choose to enjoy what God gives you. Don't say, well, God, will she begin to fall down after 2 seconds of prayer? And she was down there for two hours, and I didn't even feel anything when they prayed for me. I just kind of felt a little bit of tingle on my head. Don't choose to enjoy whatever God gives you, and God will build on that in his own way, his own timing, in his own season in your life. Amen? Jesus Christ learned to acknowledge God's presence himself in his own ministry. What I'm saying to you guys is, when God is showing up in a service like this, Turn your spiritual gauges off. During praise and worship time, don't sit there and begin to think and say, okay, we're praising God now, worshiping God now. Okay, I feel Him. He's in my feet, in my feet. My feet are starting to shake, starting to shake, starting to shake. Okay, getting faint, getting faint, getting faint. Might fall, might fall, might fall. And your gauges are kind of going out there saying, this is what God's doing among me. Don't do things like that. Don't try to analyze what God is doing. Just be an open sponge to receive what God does in your life. And if your feet shake, your hands quiver, you cry and you weep, so be it in God's presence. Amen. But let God be God for you. And put your little spiritual gauge away when God is showing up among us. Just let God be God among you. Whatever He gives you, be thankful to enjoy and enjoy that in Jesus' name. Coming into God's rest includes putting your feelings and emotions aside, abandoning yourself, and by faith acknowledging, God, you are here. Do what you will among us. Put aside what you have or have not done today or this week. Don't think about the negative things you have not done for God or have done in a sinful type way. Put those things all aside and receive what God has for you in that moment in His own goodness and grace as He pours out His Spirit upon you. Rest is an evidence of faith, just as works also is an evidence of faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Works means action, means doing something. Well, what rest means abandoning your feelings, your emotions, your agenda, and saying, Father God, you be God in me and through me. It means you do something yourself of faith. And you acknowledge that God is God and I am not. I want to receive anything God has now for me in this service, in this place. You, O God, be God and do what you want in my life. In this service, this prayer time, worship time, whatever, let God be God. So whether you fall down, don't fall down, whether you shake, rattle, and roll is not the question. The main thing is, are you being a restful, open person to say, God, do what you want to do in my life, in this service, in this prayer time, in Jesus' name. When we come here on Sunday mornings for praise and worship time, what I encourage you guys is enter into God's rest. Put aside your debts, your pressures, your sicknesses, your ailments, your pains and weaknesses. Put all those things on the altar and rest for God and say, Father God, you be God in me. I choose right now to praise you, worship you, give you thanks, give you glory, no matter what I feel like this week, this day. You, O God, are worthy of praise. I want to rest from my labors, my toils, my problems, my pressures. I want to rest all those things at your feet and say, God be God in me today, right now. I praise you. I worship you, Father God. I give myself to you, Father, because you are the great one. I am the weaker one. And I say, Father God, do what you want to do in my life. God wants the awareness of the Spirit of God living inside of us to be the focus when we pray, when we worship, when we are here hearing God's word from a pulpit like this. Let God be the focus of your life. I'm going to have James come to the platform now, and I'm going to just give some more things I want to share before I close here in prayer today. But I want to say at the beginning of ushering in God's presence I found in my life is, first of all, to show affection towards the Lord. Show affection towards God. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter into His courts with praise. I try to spend the first part of every day giving praise and thanks to Almighty God, being affectionate towards Him. Then I lay my head down on my pillow at nighttime to go to sleep. I try to always say, thank you, God, for every person who now knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for all the healings, all the miracles, all you've done in my life and lives around the entire earth. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. You are the lover of my soul. You are the one I have affection towards, O God. Receive my praise. Receive my worship. I love you, God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The Bible says, may the Lord's name be praised. Showing affection to God is a gateway to God's presence. Being thankful for what God has done, not what God has not done, what God has done. That is the key to entering into God's presence. No matter what you feel like on Sunday mornings, no matter how much you fought with your wife yesterday or your husband, your cat, your dog, your bird, put all those things aside, all those feelings your rebellious child gave you, put all those things behind you and say, I don't praise you, Father God, because I am worthy to praise you, but because you are worthy, O God, of all praise, I praise you now this day. And I say, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God, who won't leave us nor forsake us. David the psalmist, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was commanding his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Not from feelings and emotions. He said, by faith, I bless you, God. Though Saul pursues me, though death haunts me, though hardships are all around me, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. Though our nation is $16 trillion in debt, though they have nuclear weapons right now in Iran, though our space shuttle crashed decades ago, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless and praise his holy name. Let's look on the screen here at one more verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 14. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What this means is, when I pray, if all I think about is my problems, my difficulties, my clouds in life, I will not sow and I will not reap. Put all those problems at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ when you come into a place like this. And say, Father God, you be God. I want your presence because I can't do anything about my problems right now. I know you can. I lay those problems at your feet. And I choose, oh God, to seek your face, not just your hand. Your hand gives healing. Your hand gives money. Your hand gives jobs. Your hand gives guidance. Your hand gives needs being met. But I seek, oh God, your face that gives forth your countenance, your smile, your twinkle of your eye, your love, your grace. I seek your face. Your face do I seek, O Lord, and not just your hand. If you bow your heads right now, close your eyes for a moment. The Lord gave me a verse yesterday afternoon when I was praying about this service today. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says here. It says, repent, therefore. Repent means change your mind. And be converted, that your sins might be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God is telling me that the body of Christ needs, above every marriage counseling, above every financial counseling, above every deliverance of addictions, they need refreshing from the Lord. Because where God's Spirit's at, there is fullness of joy and liberty and freedom. All those things begin to pass away from us in the presence of the Lord. Right now, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to be people who have become like holy sponges. We're going to praise God a moment here. Before we do that, I want to pray the Spirit of God comes inside of our lives, even now begins to take and give us an ability to enter into his rest. His rest again means that all the things I'm laboring for, striving for, worried about, concerned about, I lay all those things right now at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. My only concern right now is I need the presence of God in my life. I need God to be the center of my life. God is not our tonsils. God is not our appendix. He's not some appendage that is optional. Expendable. He is the very core of our lives. He is our heartbeat. He is the breath we have. He is the very reason we are alive. Is God the core of our very being upon this earth? So Father God, even now, I say give us ability. Put our troubles and all of our worries and all of our thoughts about today, about Monday aside. We focus right now upon you, Father God, your greatness. How you forgave us of our sins. How you cleansed us, O God, of all iniquities. How you removed, O God, transgressions from us. How you, Father God, have healed us, provided for us, given us, O God, homes to live in, cars to drive, jobs to go to, children, Father God, to enjoy, and grandchildren also, Father God, to enjoy. You've given us brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to love and spend time with and enjoy, God, their presence and enjoy the laughter and the good times and memories. But now, Father God, this day, Let Tree of Life Church, let the congregation members of God be each one of us people that are seeking, Father God, not just your hand in 2013. We set our face, O God, as flint to seek your face. Your face, O God, do I seek after. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled again and again and again. Those who seek me, they shall find me. Those who look for me, they shall see me revealed to them. The veil has been ripped in two. We have access to the very presence of God every day of our lives. Oh God, restore those stirrings. Restore, Father God, that first love. Let's all stand to our feet right now, please.